about you gotta put it in perspective.
Yeah, there's always the main guy, and then there's the laughing guy, and then there's the baffled and shocked woman. It's like oh, fellas.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now, everyone knows the best way to get the Christmas spirit is to drink a whole lot of thick, frothy eggnog. So get going.
I don't like eggnog.
Drink the nog.
I don't want to.
Take all the nog.
No!
Yeah, you like that nog. Don't spit the nog out. Now look at the camera for a POV shot. Say thank you with a nog in your mouth.
Thank you.
Louder!
Thank you.
Good. Now go down to the hotel lobby and check out with nog all over your face.
All right.
To you and your family, what plans do you have for the holidays?
Oh, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
That's Hollywood Christmas Parade, I assume.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They could never hear each other, ever. Those were the good old days. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. It's the 7th of December.
What are you spilling already there, Allie?
Half my coffee.
Yeah?
Yeah. It wasn't great.
I mean,
what happened?
There's no electronics around you, so don't worry about it.
I mean, all around?
Right. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fine.
That's a good start to a new day.
Yeah.
We got new chairs, you guys.
We got
so
new chairs.
I think that's what it was. I wasn't used to being comfortable.
Oh.
And, little cushion for the pushing, if you know what I'm saying, these chairs. So it's kind of nice. So I'm all out of sorts, so yeah. I apologize.
All right.
Look, you get into a routine, happy. And you think things feel the way they feel, and then when somebody upsets that, it takes a minute to get up to speed.
Don't make me more like you.
Right.
I need assistance.
She's not really saying all of that.
I'm with you.
As much as you are.
Hey, you guys see the dumb car chase?
Yeah.
You did?
I didn't.
How much did you watch, Kevin? You didn't stay up till the end because it ended at 11:15, but...
I mean, I was up for a while.
Okay.
So I saw the truck.
If any of our fine Kevin and Bean staff, your Daves, your Omars, your Chips, your Christines, if anyone saw the car chase and can add some context, please jump in. So last night, by the way, I should say for the record for folks who don't know and haven't heard, I hate car chases.
Love
them. Stupid.
Love.
They have no business being on the news.
Super entertaining.
Dare.
None.
Let me disagree. If you saw the ratings spike.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not popular. I'm saying they have no business being on the news.
Well, I'm saying from a news director's perspective,
yeah.
Ratings.
Yeah. Then
yes.
The news director should be fired. Because the news director's job should be, hey, let's put on a newscast that tells people things that are important.
You haven't watched the news in L.A. in a long time.
I have watched the news. Look, I know I'm in the minority here, but
you're adorable.
It's
ridiculous that they put these stupid car chases on television because they affect no one.
You're cute.
The only possible people that can be affected by a car chase are people who are out in traffic and the car chase might go by. But you know what? None of them are watching television.
So you're adorable.
You're putting it on for people for whom it has no impact whatsoever. It's 100% empty calories.
Hey, Bean.
Yeah.
You're never going to win this fight.
Yeah.
Well,
because it gets good ratings.
Doesn't mean I'm wrong. Okay, but here's why I bring it up.
Last night. It does mean you're wrong. That news director is supposed to get good ratings, and so that's what he does, and he gets good ratings.
He's wrong. So here's why I bring it up, though. Because I saw some of the video this morning.
Yeah.
The helicopter pilot for Channel 2 is the greatest hype man in history. His play-by-play coverage.
The Flava-Flav of.
Is phenomenal. I just pulled. Here's a random 45 seconds or something like that, and you can get into his flow. I mean, I don't know. Does the helicopter pilot hate it, or I think he probably loves it?
I think
right?
They love it.
Probably
yeah.
Like it's the best
yeah.
thing in the world. How about the anchors, Allie? You worked in news for many, many years. Do they like the car chases?
Most, because they have to keep saying the same thing over and over, and it's not.
And it's boring and stupid.
Yeah, and you leave it up to the guy up in the helicopter that knows the streets, knows the routes, everything. It's mostly their job. This is where they shine.
I'm sorry that I don't have his name because he's a great American. I want you to hear a little bit of the helicopter pilot.
And then there was this possibility that this person may be armed.
That's when it all kind of got strange. They didn't want to give it up. They don't want to go into tracking mode. They can't use the pit maneuver. They're saying because the guys aren't, but come on. At these speeds, they would never do that type of pit maneuver. It'd be too dangerous for the officers, too dangerous for that suspect, and God knows if anybody was in the area when they tried to do it. So they're just staying away from that. They can't use anything else from their bag of tricks, like the stop strips or the spike strips. Can't do that because he's basically in so many different areas. He isn't making blocks like we've seen.
Guy doesn't take a breath.
Nope.
That's amazing.
Pumped. He's pumped, right?
He's pumped.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
And I guess because it's a live thing and it's going to go as long as it goes, there's no rush for him to finish up and throw it back to the desk. They've got nothing. Right.
Right. He has more than they do, right?
Yeah. Other than what they're saying. So he just has free reign on a TV channel just to talk as much as he wants. And this guy's going to take advantage of that.
And also at these high speeds. Right now, I can tell you, Sky 2, traveling over 60 miles an hour just to track this guy on Foothill Boulevard. So this guy really moving out.
By the way, I noticed right there, and tell me if you don't agree with me as you listen to a little bit more, this guy's R.J. Bell. This guy's our Friday guy from Las Vegas.
Very dangerous to the people on the ground. Luckily, he's been picking a lot of these straight type of roads. Foothill, yeah, it does have some turns in it, but it's not a lot of these winding roads where this vehicle would be so impaired that we'd see it slide around, and we have. When he tried to get off the freeway earlier on, that car was sliding all over the place.
You see a little RJ in there?
A little bit. I heard it right there. Yeah, when
I
he
didn't
said,
hear any of
yeah,
it.
You see it. Yeah.
All right, so now we get to the end of the chase, and Kevin, you were watching. You saw something that is very rare in a car chase, and that is a civilian who decides he's going to end the chase. And this guy in the truck, in the Silverado, he did it on purpose. It's not like he was just pulling out of his
driveway.
I couldn't
tell
right?
that. That's a good... I didn't know. It looked like he was just going the other direction on a pretty much a one-lane street. But
oh, you think so?
I don't know. I don't know either.
Okay. I kind of thought for whatever reason he did it on purpose.
It's possible.
He, what he does is he pulls out of a driveway. This guy, this driver in the behind the wheel, is and they think he was a – they were trying to pull him over for DUI, and he just hit it. It looked like the truck, if it was intentional, pulled into the street so the guy had to stop.
Because he had nowhere to go. But here's the play-by-play from our man in the sky.
And you can see that the officers get these opportunities. They get very close to that car. But they're still giving that person at least enough room to make his own decisions. Whoop, 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 whoop. Whoop, whoop. That's it. That's it. No!
Did he just finish? Is that what just happened here? I feel like...
I sense an Ally Moe mix.
Yeah, I think he went full Homer Simpson, too.
He's trying to get through. Trying to get through. That truck not letting him go. That truck not letting him go through there. Very dangerous situation.
The reason I think the guy did it on purpose, Kevin, now that I think about it, as I hear that play-by-play, is he pulled into the street... The driver for the chase hit him and then was trying to squeeze through a parked car on the side and the truck. And it's like
yes.
the truck backed up
yes.
a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, to not to, let him through.
To yes. not let him through. And oh. then the guy jumped out of his car, the guy in the truck.
Oh, my God!
Jumped out of his car and ran away, which leads me to believe he knew there was a car chase and there were police coming and they had guns and all that stuff. If it had just been a guy who was unaware that there was a car chase, he would have thought, oh, my God, I've just been in an accident. And
right, because the guy had hit him already.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
then he backed up just to cut the guy off
just to
and
cut
ran
the guy
for
off.
Wow.
Now,
that's
is
pretty
that a,
sweet.
Is that a super dumb move for that dude getting involved? Should he just let the thing go by his house and not do anything, or is he citizen of the day because he jumped out there and
I don't know, are we still in opposite world where it's a terrible thing that they put these on TV?
No, it is. It's horrible. Okay. It shouldn't have been. Okay. I have no business knowing that this happened because it's completely inconsequential, but I'm asking about the guy in the truck. Did he do the right thing?
They tell you never to get involved in situations
right.
like this. So, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to get involved. But if you're just going to pull out of your driveway and you can stop a guy that's a potential DUI in a car chase,
I mean, if he has,
good for you.
If they're afraid he has a weapon, I feel like maybe that's
concerning.
A bad
yeah.
move.
They did say that several times in the chase that they thought he was armed.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
But...
Would you do it, Kevin?
No, I'd get, fall in behind the police and go.
And follow the whole chase?
Yeah, I would go on
like
the
you were part of it?
Right, yeah.
Final question. Will the guy in the truck's insurance cover intentionally pulling in front of a car coming down his street?
I wondered that as well, and I have no idea because it looked like he did all that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how insurance
So not only
works.
Are you putting yourself in potential harm, it could end up costing you a lot of money as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let's start a Kickstarter right now for this man.
Right?
Well, if that guy's out there, well, we'd love to talk
and
to you.
For all the news channels that carry that, those chases.
Stop right? it.
Kickstarter.
That's our takeaway, stop it.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Whoop, 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 whoop. That's it. That's, oh. Oh, that's it. That's it. Oh, no!
Smell it.
He's not the best play-by-play man there. Peter Engel is going to be in the studio today, one of the executive producers of Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
He's the guy who came up with all the characters on that show, by the way. He created Zach Morris in his mind.
How about that?
Yeah.
We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday. We have K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets on the floor for both nights.
Wow.
We're starting to look back at 2016, and we have our top 10 moments with.
Oh, dear.
I haven't looked at the list yet because Ralph won't allow it. But
I wonder if you're on it.
I mean, I don't want to be 8 of the 10.
Okay.
That's my goal.
Right.
You mean like usual?
Yes. I feel like Bean came on pretty strong there for a bit.
Yeah, this was a big year for me.
And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that.
Way to go,
what is failure?
Right. You can have the title. I'm good with that. And we also have your tickets for Rogue One in IMAX 3D, and we'll get you qualified for the premiere of that movie
as well. Stay tuned.
What? Yes, stay tuned. Thanks, Rodney. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Because I'm a little unsteady. A little unsteady.
Hey!
Mm. Not even a little bit.
Mm, I like it. I think I like it.
Let's add that to the version we play.
I think I like it. Felt good.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5 minutes till six, and Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Here I am.
What's going on?
I want to let people know, maybe here now, but Friday night, 10 p.m., I'll be with Kevin Smith on stage at the Improv on Melrose with Hollywood Babylon. This is our last regular Babylon of the season until we do our big New Year's Eve shows at the same location on the 31st. So come on out and see us Friday or see one of our shows on New Year's Eve. We're glad to have you. You can go to improv.com to check out me and Smith and our patented brand of hijinks. Speaking of hijinks, tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night.
Everyone excited?
What's tonight?
Yeah, right?
Hijinks.
Hijinks night?
What's tonight?
Hairspray Live! Hairspray Live.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
What everybody's been waiting for. Right?
I mean, sure.
Harvey Fierstein?
Oh, you have to go in the show and dance.
Come on! Oh, I can't wait. What a cast. You got Andrea Martin, who I love. Martin Short. Together again? Ariana Grande? Mm-hmm. Come on!
Ariana Grande?
You guys don't know.
I might check it out.
Oh, wait. Rosie O'Donnell's in it. Oh, now what do I do? Now what do I do? I'm torn. I think I'm going to check it anyway. I like that music.
There's always time for great music.
Yes, but there's not a lot of time for Tom Waits, is what we're saying. Also celebrating a birthday today, C. Thomas Howell. CDH.
Did they call him CDH?
C. Tommy Howe.
TTH?
Look, you loved him back in the day. Outsiders, all those movies. And then reinvent himself. Southland?
Right. Animal Kingdom?
Animal Kingdom?
Jeez, sorry for adding to it. God.
Did you think I forgot that he was in that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
When's that show coming back?
Right?
Right.
I know, but I don't want to interrupt.
See, Tom, why be useful? Just pitch in when you're not needed. Muse drummer Dominic Howard, 39 years old today. Shiri Appleby's 38. Singer Sarah Bareilles turns 37. As does actress Jennifer Carpenter. She's 37. Oh, I love the Carpenter's Christmas album, too. She's so good on that.
That's unrelated. Just
Merry
same last
Christmas,
name.
Darling.
Same last name. That was Karen. This is
We're
Jennifer.
We're apart, that's true.
Unrelated.
Why doesn't she sing anymore? She never sang on Dexter, which always ticked me off. Actress Emily Browning's 28. Mumford & Sons banjoist Winston Marshall is 28 years old. He's also married to Diana Agron of Glee, by the way. See?
All right.
There's a reason to pick up a banjo.
I guess so.
Banjo players get all the chicks. Ugh. I'm so
You've always
jealous.
Said that.
I've always said that. actor Nicholas Hoult celebrates his 27th birthday. And Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig.
From the L.A. Dodgers. He's 26 years
old. Hey, speaking of Rogue One, Alan Tudyk's going to be on the program today. He's the voice of what? One of the robots that the good guys steal, and he's an Imperial robot, and they program him to help steal the plans to the Death Star. Is that right, Allie?
Yes.
He's K2SO.
Come on. Sure. K2SO. Right.
Everyone knows that.
Come on now. He is joining us on the program later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We want you to see Rogue One, by the way. We're giving away tickets all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show in IMAX 3D, and you qualify to win passes for the world premiere of the movie at the Pantages this Saturday. If you want to try to win those, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Any hints today, Allie, on what kind of Star Wars fans we're looking for?
I think keep in mind who some of the bad guys are.
Okay.
It's a good tip.
Yeah. Good tip. You like that?
I mean, it's pretty much giving the whole thing away, but yes.
Okay, sure.
520-1067. If you're a Star Wars fan, we want to hear from you
look at
right now on K-Rock.
So the kangaroo, right? The guy in the kangaroo.
Wow.
Kangaroo has dog.
Don't even get me started on this guy.
Okay, I thought that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, no, we can, but I'm just saying, I'm team kangaroo on this. There's no reason to punch this kangaroo in the face.
All right, so here's what happens. The kangaroo's holding a dog in a sort of a...
like a headlock.
Sort of a headlock. Doesn't look like he's applying much pressure till the guy shows up.
Right.
This is in Australia at the Taronga Western Plains Zoo. Is that right? Did it happen at a zoo?
I don't think so. I think the man works for a zoo.
Man works for a zoo, but it happens somewhere else in the wild. Okay.
I think in the bush.
He's a zookeeper, and he's out with a bunch of people, and they're pig hunting is what they're doing. And somehow this guy's dog gets too close to the kangaroo, and the kangaroo grabs the dog and puts him in a headlock. Which, by the way, at this point in the video, I'm enjoying it, okay? Because how often do you get a chance to see a kangaroo putting a dog in a headlock?
Wow.
Nobody's getting hurt. They're just clowning around.
How do you know they're clowning around?
Because animals play. That's why. Look, nobody was getting bit. Nobody was getting hit. Nobody was getting hurt.
You don't know any of that.
I thought it was sexual.
Oh, did you really?
No! That's what I'm saying. You're like, they're clowning around. If we're just putting out our theories, right. Sure.
Well, at that point, I'm fine with the video.
Sure.
All right. So what happens next?
So then... the guy runs after the kangaroo because the kangaroo has his dog in a headlock.
Sure.
And that's not going to stand. So that the dog tries to pull away and the kangaroo tries to choke him out.
Yeah, he tightens up.
And the dog actually gets away and then the kangaroo squares up with the guy and the guy punches him in the face.
Okay, so stop right there.
Uh-huh.
The dog gets away.
Right.
At that point, the man is no longer protecting or trying to save his dog. He's not trying to get his dog out of the clutches of the kangaroo.
Kangaroo squares off with the man.
Yeah, right.
I think it was a split-second decision. He was pumped up with adrenaline. He was worried about his dog.
Turn and walk away.
No, if a kangaroo squares up and you have 1 second to react, I might be popping that kangaroo in the face. I'm just
dog's
saying.
Dog's out of danger. He's no longer protecting his dog.
It happened within a second.
Yeah, it was a split second.
It was a split-second decision.
Here's the play-by-play from the guy in the truck.
We're all looking forward to seeing Max on a ball. When? To our horror, it turns out to be something else altogether.
Oh, no! Yeah! Stick!
Whoa, go!
But all is not as it seems. The big buck actually has hold of the dog, not the other way around. As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
Let it go, dogs, let's go.
Now, I don't know if you heard that, but you can actually hear the punch just before the guy says, let it go.
Let it go, dogs, let's go. Now the dog's coming.
Well, we're not sure what's going on here, but the roo has the dog, not the other way around.
The roo does have the dog,
mm-hmm.
Not the other way around.
Max calmly waits for his owner to come and help. The buck roo sees the odds stacking against him and tries to gut the dog with his claws one last time. His powerful arms anchor the dog by the breastplate as Max doubles his efforts to escape. Finally, the roo switches his attention to Tonks and sizes up the human to be his next victim. Tonks gives the kangaroo his space, but the cranky buck comes forward, ready to attack.
Okay, so according to this guy, the dog owner gave the kangaroo his space.
Right.
But the kangaroo came forward.
Walk away, Roo.
Boom.
Punch.
Yeah.
Right in the face.
To save himself, he launches a right hand to the kangaroo's snout. The punch swivels the Roo's head as he throws his claws out to grapple and gouge. Then they eye each other off.
Okay, I gotta be honest, I didn't see any of that. In the video.
he's very, very colorful in his play-by-play.
Yeah.
The kangaroo is shocked that he just got hit in the face. I will tell you that.
He really is, but he's also Doesn't look like he's hurt at all.
No, he took it like a champ.
Just he stood there. They looked at each other, yeah. And then they just turned and went their own ways.
Yeah. It could have gotten bad, right?
I feel like the man and the kangaroo were just clowning around.
Yeah. I found it sexual.
That's how I saw it. We've got your tickets for Rogue One next.
Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat here in minutes on K-Rock. First, though, why don't we hook you up with some tickets to go see Rogue One, A Star Wars Story in IMAX 3D and qualify to win passes for the world premiere. Now, Allie, this would be at the Pantages Theater on Saturday. If it's the world premiere, that means the stars are going to be there, right?
Everyone's going to be here. This, like, they've been shutting down streets around it for a week. This is almost going to be a bigger premiere than The Force Awakens. It's wow. Crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. So we're giving away tickets. We're so lucky to have these all week long here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. And right now we're doing the game that we like to call Star Wars Villains.
We have tickets to see Rogue One. Come on now, let's have some fun. Just name the bad dude and you're done. Come on now and don't be dumb. Star Wars Villains.
The bad guys.
Star Wars Villains.
Not the good guys.
Star Wars Villains.
It's the evil ones.
Right. Star Wars Villains. Come on.
So the Star Wars villains are not the good guys, mm-hmm.
Right?
We learned from that.
They're the bad ones, I heard.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a full rack of calls here. Allie's got the questions for you. Who's up first, Kevin?
Let's start with Brian in Long Beach. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Brian?
Hey, good morning, fellas. And ma'am, how's it going?
It's going
ma'am
well.
Ma'am is good. All right, Brian. I'm just going to explain who this person is, maybe a little background of them, and maybe what they look like. So just tell me who this villain is. This villain is a Sith Lord trained by Darth Sidious. He's a master in the ways of the dark side and a talented assassin. He's tasked with killing Jedi Knights Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn, lending itself to some of the best fight scenes in Episode 1. He also has horns.
Darth Maul.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Star Wars villains.
Hold on. Thank
was
you.
Was it the horns you think they got him to it?
Maybe it was the horns.
Because I felt
yeah.
like there was a lot of deep background going on, and he had nothing. Then all of a sudden, the horns, he's like, oh, yeah, Darth Maul.
James and La Mirada, hi.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, James. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. This villain is the mastermind behind Order 66, which led to the death of the majority of Jedi Knights. He's also the man that turned Anakin Skywalker into the Sith Lord Darth Vader. What a dick.
Darth Sidious?
Yes, also known as Emperor Palpatine.
Star Wars villains.
Nicely done. Right.
Well
two for
done.
Two. You know, we had some pretty good Star Wars contestants yesterday. It looks like today, same thing.
Let's go to Brian in Lawndale. Hi, Brian.
What's going on, Kevin and Bean and Allie?
Hey. All right, this villain was first introduced to us in Return of the Jedi. He runs a crime syndicate on Tatooine and enjoys keeping slaves for entertainment, which ultimately led to his downfall. He also looks like a big old slug.
That would be Jabba the Hutt.
That would be Jabba the Hutt.
Star Wars villains.
Well done. We would have also accepted Beer Mug for that one, by the way.
I don't think that's possible. Alex in Cyprus. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good morning, Alex. This villain was a former Jedi trainee under his uncle Luke Skywalker before he destroyed Luke's attempt to restore the Jedi Order. He then became an apprentice of Supreme Leader Snoke of the First Order. And then he decided to kill his own dad.
That would be Kylo Ren.
That would be.
It would
Kylo
be. Ren.
Star Wars villains.
4 out of 4.
Not bad.
Let's go to George in North Hollywood. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. This villain is part human, part machine. He's got a metal body and uses multiple lightsabers at once in a battle.
General Grievous.
Yes.
Well done.
I mean.
Star Wars villains.
Right? Yeah, that's hardcore right there. When you're coming with General Grievous, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
Let's go to David in Simi Valley. Hi, David.
Hello, hello.
How you feeling listening on hold to your fellow Star Wars fans? It's a pretty good group.
So far, so good.
You're up to the snuff here?
Yes, yes.
That's not an expression, is it?
Bad guys, not good guys, right?
The bad guys.
Yes, right, the bad guys.
That's right.
Thank
right.
you for clarifying.
And it's good to know you are up to the snuff.
Right. That's what I said. It's not an expression.
I don't believe so, no.
All right. This villain is a Mandalorian warrior. After seeing his father die in Battle of Geonosis, he developed a grudge against the Jedi, leading him down the path to become one of the best bounty hunters in the galaxy.
The Boba Fett.
It would be.
Done.
Star Wars villains.
Check all right. Go for a clean sweep. One more, you guys?
One more.
Always do one more. And this is going to be Michael in Century City.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
hey,
thank
Michael.
You.
All right, this was the first villain introduced in Star Wars A New Hope. He's great with a lightsaber, but can also choke you out from across the room, never laying a hand on you. He also seems to have some sort of breathing issue.
Hmm. How will you
I
ever get that one?
That could be.
Hmm. You can do it.
Darth Vader.
Star Wars villains.
Nice. All right, a lot of dudes listening this morning. We're calling in for Star Wars tickets. It's going to be Brian or James or Alex or George or David or Michael. And I think that's all of them, all in the running. We got three winners this time around, you guys, to see Rogue One, A Star Wars 3 and IMAX 3D. All
winners.
Are qualified for the world premiere.
Three winners.
Three
winners.
Three. So this is going to be you, Chip.
George, Michael, and Alex.
Yay!
Congratulations. Thanks for playing the game.
Star Wars villains. The bad guys. Star Wars villains.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Hey, don't forget, we have more tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. It is, I don't want to say fast approaching, but like 3 days from now, we'll be there at the Forum doing the show, right?
Right.
December 10th and 11th this weekend, Blink 182 and Green Day and Beck and Weezer and Kings Leon and Jimmy Eat World and so much more, including that band right there, Bastille. Your chance to win tickets for both nights on the floor coming up. We'll tell you how to win on the way from K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's up?
Stuff is up. Let's talk about good and bad behavior, shall we?
All right.
Like Nicki Minaj making fun of folks with mental illness. That's not cool, right?
Mm-mm.
Well, that's what people are saying since she shared a video on her Instagram this week of a woman with obvious mental issues in Miami making quite the joke about it. And she's got 70 million followers on that Instagram account. And so as you can imagine, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, not impressed with her behavior. They sent out a press release that sounded off, saying nobody would make fun of a cancer patient, and mental illness is an illness like any other. And so they're still waiting for a response from Nikki.
The president-elect had a comment.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember. Who would make fun of someone with a handicap?
Right?
No one.
Certainly
despicable
not our president.
Behavior. No, it'll
right?
be ridiculous.
Deplorable, I'd say. Okay, that's the bad. Let's talk about the good.
Okay.
Tom Hanks.
He saved another kid from drowning or something. What did he do?
He's just good. He's just good.
Does that make you upset, Bean?
No. It's okay. You just can't believe how many great things he does.
I hate him doing all the good things.
No, I love him.
No, you don't.
Another good thing.
Yeah. When he landed that plane in the Hudson and saved all those people's lives, I was like, come on. Tom Hanks again is the right guy at the right place at the right time.
Just a movie.
Just unbelievable. What now?
He organized a memorial service for the late Gary Marshall, who was a good friend of his. They worked together. Starting all the way back in the days of Bosom Buddies. They were on the Paramount lot together when Gary was doing Happy Days, and they got to be friends. Tom Hanks did a Happy Days episode before he ever got to be a big star.
Huh.
Yeah, he fights the Fonz. You ever seen the episode where he fights the Fonz?
No.
Oh, stop it.
Didn't.
No.
Tom Hanks fighting the Fonz.
Okay. How did that come up? Why would he fight the Fonz?
Because he was a bad dude.
Okay.
He was a villain.
Yeah.
So he puts together this memorial service for Gary Marshall, where 1,000 friends show up to mourn him. Now, here's the problem. Over 12 people participating in the memorial service wound up with parking tickets because there was no place to park, so a lot of people parked illegally. Tom was so disappointed that he paid everybody's ticket. He paid off everybody's parking.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool. He's a good guy, right?
I don't like him.
Yeah, him.
I don't like
all those things when he does that are good.
I don't like
you say that. I love Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed by how many great things he does for
people. He does too many good things.
Those people broke the law. He's essentially rewarding them for breaking the law.
Right.
I think that's ridiculous.
Right, Kellyanne. Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. That's a song.
Yep.
We can all agree that's awesome.
Yes.
We can all agree it's a song. We can all agree it's awesome.
It's awesome. Okay, it's awesome.
Who are our friends who do that cover that's so amazing?
Panic at the Disco.
Yeah. Oh, love that cover.
It's so good.
Love the original. It's just a classic. And the lyrics are the best. You know how I know?
How do you know?
Because people at Corridor over on YouTube, they took the lyrics from Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody and treated it as a screenplay. They took the words of that song and turned it into dialogue for actors.
Okay.
And they put together a video which looks exactly like a gritty crime thriller.
and used just lyrics from Bohemian Rhapsody as the dialogue.
That sounds cool.
It's hilarious and cool all at the same time. Here's a little piece of that. This is where this poor boy who has just committed a crime rushes home to his mother, very upset.
Not the clip?
Not
the clip. Mama, I just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama, if it just begun, now I've gone and thrown it all away.
Mama, didn't mean to make you
that
cry.
That sounds awesome.
It is awesome. You can check that online. Corridor is the name of the guys who put that together on YouTube. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. First of all, I want to remind you, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I taking the stage again for Hollywood Babylon. Last legit Babylon of the year before we get into the New Year shows at 8 and 10. But if you'd like to come out and see us at 10 p.m. this Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, you can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
This is making me extremely horny.
Well, come on.
Wow.
Have a cocktail.
It gave me a boner.
Stretch your legs. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Tom Waits is 67 years old today. Actor C. Thomas Howell celebrates his 50th birthday. Remember when his mom and dad were shipwrecked on that island? Remember?
No.
When it was
different
Thurston?
Different Howells.
That's not
Thurston and
Thurston
Lovey. That was
and
TV
Lovey.
Show.
And I,
that's Gilligan's
it's amazing
Island.
That C. Thomas Howell.
No.
He was able to.
Nope. That's
no relation.
Without his parents,
no.
He was able still to
name.
Achieve that's, so much.
You're talking about Gilligan's Island.
Right.
C. Thomas, we miss you.
Can you imagine his father just pining away for C. Thomas?
Lovey. Where's our son, C. Thomas?
On a very sad episode of Gilligan's Island.
They were distraught. Muse drummer Dominic Howard's 39. Actress Shuri Appleby is 38 years old today. Sarah Bareilles is 37. Actress Jennifer Carpenter, you remember her from Dexter, 37 years old today. Emily Browning, the lovely and talented actress, is 28. Winston Marshall from Mumford & Sons is 28 years old today as well. Nicholas Hoult, very talented actor, is 27. And Yasiel Puig. Of the Dodgers is 26.
Puig, your friend.
What happened?
What? Puig, your friend. That was the popular hashtag around Yasiel.
All right. He's 26 years old today. Doesn't he seem older than 26?
He does.
Seems like he should be 40.
He could be. We don't know.
He could be. We have to cut him in half and count his rings. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
My name is Buzz Aldrin. And on July 20th, 1969, I was one of the first men to walk on the moon.
Yeah. Fake. Not fake.
This last year, I was 80 years old. People may have a tendency to underestimate me, but watch out. Here I come.
Actually, no. Ooh. I think you were one of the first people eliminated from the stars when you were on Buzz because you were old. That was 5 or 6 years ago. I think it was 6 years ago Buzz Aldrin was on Dancing with the Stars. American hero, by the way. Buzz Aldrin. And a lot of people, they thought maybe he was a little too interested in his partner at the time, Ashley, that he had a professional dancer that he was dancing with.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
So a lot of people at the time said, come on, Colonel, come on. You're creeping on your dance partner there?
This is going to be a real treat.
Well, he is still alive and still living the life. And recently, Buzz Aldrin is in the news because he, along with other tourists, was visiting the South Pole. He was in a group that was there at the Amundsen Scott South Pole Station. Again, he's 86 years old. And sometime while he was at the South Pole, he got ill. So ill, in fact, that he could not be treated by the doctors at the station, and they had to airlift him out and take him to the hospital, where I think he might still be in Christchurch, New Zealand. So we wanted to catch up with Mr. Buzz Aldrin from his hospital bed and find out how he's going. Hey, Buzz, what's up?
Hey, I'm Buzz.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean, remember we had you on the show a few years ago.
I heard a girl's voice.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. You sound like a real cute babe.
That's very nice of you. Are you still in quarantine?
I am, yeah. I'm still in quarantine here in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of time on my hands, if you know what I mean.
My time?
By time, I mean my joint.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, you did tweet a photo of you reading a magazine, yeah. and then you said, catching up on the world while I'm stuck in quarantine. Uh-huh. Apparently, Kim Kardashian is out in public
again. Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Did you see the headline on that newspaper?
What was it, Buzz?
Kids emulate Kim K's porno style.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oof.
I'm Buzz.
Right. Hey, but why would you be reading that, something like that, interested in something like that?
Boner.
Okay. It's kind of hard to argue with that, I guess.
All right, I'm Buzz. Yeah.
So, besides looking at pictures of Kim Kardashian, how else are you spending all this time? You're a guy who's usually very busy in your life, and now being on bed rest must be tough for you.
They won't let me out of here because I'm quarantined.
Right.
So I'm just trying to do the best I can to let the time go by.
Is that bingo?
Bingo?
Again.
You're playing bingo in a hospital?
Yeah, anything to pass the time.
Wait, you can play the banjo?
Yeah, I was in here.
Can you turn down the sound effects, Buzz? We can't quite make you out.
I'm picking and I'm grinning.
Oh, right. You're picking a grin. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Wow.
I'm just...
What is that?
Shanked one.
You're playing baseball?
A little batting practice, that's all.
In a hospital?
Yeah, I got one of them ball machines.
Bet you do.
By ball machines, I mean a lot of time on my hands.
Right.
Yeah. All right, here you go. Here's your fish.
Is that a dolphin?
Is that a dolphin?
Yeah, I'm training dolphins.
What? How are you doing that in the hospital room?
I've got a dolphin tank.
Sure.
I put a dolphin in it.
Sure.
I'm going to start a training. How hard is that?
It's not hard to follow.
Speaking of hard,
okay.
Nope.
You sound like a real cute babe. I have a food truck here at the hospital. I'm making tamales for everyone on the floor.
All right, that's unusual.
Self-interested.
What? What's happening?
That's a...
Got it. My boomerang.
Oh, straight.
Throwing a boomerang around the hospital. Come here, you.
What? Are you sword fighting?
Touché. Sometimes I sword fight with the doctors.
Do they know that?
And by sword fight.
Yes. Right.
Come here, you.
Get out. Is that a wrestling a bear?
Stay, uncle. Close enough. I'm just wrestling some bears.
That's what I thought. That's
quarantining.
That's... Right.
And by wrestling the bears, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We know that sound.
Wrestling the bear. Yeah. Drumming the banjo.
All right. Excellent.
Get a little batting practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to catch up with you.
I'm choking the dolphins.
Right. Now we see what's happening.
Right. Yeah. Throwing my boomerang.
Right. Okay.
Time for another sword fight with the doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Buzz.
You are Buzz. All right. Whew, that was troubling.
That was.
All right. We have
86,
he
by
is.
The way.
Yeah,
a lot of stamina, it sounds
he is
like.
He's still going.
He really is. He's a goer. What are we doing? We're doing what's good, right?
We're doing what's good. Yes.
Okay. So this is where you call us and be part of. Why listen to the show when you can be part of the show? That's what we always say. You can call us on any topic right now. You got questions, you got concerns, you got problems, you got things you think we should be talking about, important news to share with the world. Give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. But do you think they'll perform that this weekend at K-Rock's Acoustic Christmas?
I hope so.
It's hard to get people to do Christmas songs
at
that show.
It is.
It seems like it would be appropriate.
It's also hard to get them to do acoustic.
Yes, that's also very true. It's a very poorly named show this weekend. Your chance to win coming up. And by the way, since we're getting near the end of the year, we start to look back. Our top 10 moments with here on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up next. First, your phone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. You can give us a call right now if you want to be on Kevin and Bean's What's Good, Hit It, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up so we could be down. 1-800.
Nobody calling about the dumb car chase last night in the San Fernando Valley, thank God.
The awesome car chase
still
last
so mad
night
about
is what
that.
You're talking about. Oh, you should be
colossal
mad.
Colossal waste of
you
time.
You hate to see entertainment on TV.
Let's go to line one. Let's say hi to Sarah. She's in Northridge. She's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's good with you?
So I think that while Buzz is being quarantined, he must be doing a little time on Elmo's World.
Buzz Aldrin is on Elmo's World?
Trust me. Trust me. I think he is.
Okay.
So
give us some
nanny.
Background here.
All right. I'm a nanny, and I put my one-and-a-half-year-old in front of the TV for Elmo's World while I made breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning of the show, he always says, "Guess what Elmo's thinking about today?" To which I hear, "Balls." And then he says, "Guess who else is thinking about balls? Dorothy." And so I turn around, I'm like, "What the hell?" And I look, and he says, "Look at all my balls. Do you want to watch my balls bounce? Look at how bouncy they are.
What?
Do you want to play with balls?" And then they go to, like, this thing where they have kids do whatever their topic is for the day. So he says, "Hey, kids, show me how you bounce balls." To which I was thoroughly entertained at that point and went and sat and watched it with him.
This is fantastic.
This is a completely different Elmo.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like balls that bounce?
Right?
I mean, come on.
I got to start watching
with you,
Elmo
Sarah.
World. All right. Great to call. You're doing a great job as a nanny, too. We very much appreciate your call. Let's try Kenny and La Puente, please. He's on line six. I am told, Kevin, that whatever the crisis here is that Kenny's going to tell us about it, it was not our fault. So I feel okay about it.
Okay. All right. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What happened?
Oh, I'm just calling to apologize to you guys and every Cure fan out in the world. Quick background.
Can you turn your radio down? Would you mind doing that for us, Kenny?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me
yes.
better now?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm on the road.
That's all right.
You know, since I was a little kid, I've always been a Cure fan. And even back in the 90s when they went on the world tour, I had bought tickets and I had got grounded. My dad took my ticket, and then he had compassion for me. He forgave me. And then when he tried to get my ticket back, he forgot where he put it at. I never ended up going. So then when they're on tour again, I was in Iraq. I didn't get to see him. So then I finally called you guys, and I want tickets to go see The Cure. Well,
all right, why don't you turn your radio off and then tell us the rest of the story?
Okay, so you won Cure tickets. Let's just get to the end of it, Bean. Let's just get to the end of it.
All right, so you tried to see The Cure a bunch of times and couldn't, and then you finally won tickets from us.
How dare you laugh at my sadness. Anyways, I ended up not going to see The Cure, and I felt bad because I'd called in. We did the 1 minute, 1 second song.
Just Allie a second.
My name
okay. All right. Kenny, all right. Listen, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You're the best. I love
you. Thank you for your service in Iraq.
Right.
I'm sorry you didn't get to see The Cure, but clearly you don't like The Cure at all because you've had so many opportunities to go see them your whole life and have chosen not to.
Kevin turned the timer on, and then he said, and then I was in Iraq, and Kevin turned that
yep,
timer
on. Right back
so
off.
Quick.
Right? And yet the guy needed the timer.
He did need the title. Okay. All right. I think we're going to regret this decision, but let's go to line nine, please. There's a caller named Dave who says yes.
Why?
Regret this decision. Maybe
I'm wrong.
I want to hear about prenatal health.
We might get to that call.
Okay.
Andrea, hold on. Maybe. But let's see what a listener named Dave has to say.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's Dave? Good?
Dude, big ball night tonight. Clippers Warriors. The battle for first place. It's going down.
Now, the Warriors have lost, what, 3 games this year so far is all, right?
It's going to be 4 tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, too
sorry.
Bad.
Sorry, thank you for calling. Okay. Sorry.
What's good?
Be one of us. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I feel like they got it. I mean, they pretty much have
Let
a song.
Let me make things better, please.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:34.
It's time for our annual look back on the top 10 moments with,
Woo!
This time for 2016. And I have to tell you, Ralph, I used to enjoy this feature very much because it was just, you know, mostly just making fun of Kevin.
Oh, is that why? Oh,
but
what
I've noticed in recent years is that the quality of Kevin's broadcasting has not decreased at all. He's every bit as good as he was when he started.
Wait, I haven't gotten any better?
You have gotten no
You're
worse
exactly
than
as no good worse. As you were when you started.
All right.
Congratulations.
Day one. Right. I, however... year after year, become a worse broadcaster.
Oh, yes,
than
by
I was.
Far. Yes.
And that's why I have been kind of dreading this moment.
And you pride yourself on your professionalism and your broadcasting abilities.
Sure does. Well, I'd like to be better, yeah. And I just am not able to be.
Well, I'll have you know, for the first time, we took a look back over the year and we compiled, we had the boys up on the eighth floor compile all the numbers for Moments With this year.
So one floor building.
And the overall numbers this year were Allie, no Moments With this year.
Wow.
Not one
Come
moment
on.
With that.
Really?
Zero Moments With. She is the consummate professional.
Thank you for noticing.
She should be on a better show then.
Ralph Garman, one Moment With.
Oh, wow.
Year.
Okay.
A solitary Moment With. Kevin Ryder, 12 Moments With this year. And for the first time in history,
yes!
Bean had 14 Moments
yes!
With. Kevin was surpassed this year.
Oh, yes!
In sheer volume
yes!
of Moments With,
oh,
for the first time ever, Kevin was
surprised.
Eclipsed by the number of Moments
yes!
With.
Yes!
This year in sheer volume, sheer
right
numbers.
Right on, Garmin!
Sheer numbers.
Is this like the first time you beat your dad in basketball
so
or something where you're like, oh, my God, I used to be bad and now I'm good?
I'm so happy.
Yeah, so that's how it broke down. However, it doesn't mean we rated them as well, so we don't know how they're going to rate in terms of the top 10.
What?
We still have the top 10. We don't know what's going to be the best Moment With
of the year. So I can still technically have all of them?
You really could. It could be like the Electoral College and the popular vote. Bean could win the popular vote. You still could be.
I was so excited.
Dumbass elect.
Oh.
So we'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at number 10 in this year's top.
Right, hold on. I think we got a big intro
for
you
here.
We have a big intro, yeah.
Top 10 Moments With. Come on, come on, come on and have some fun because you will not believe how the Kevin and Bean show is so dumb. They're a little slow and definitely no wordsmiths. Come on, let's laugh. It's Top 10 Moments With
of 2016.
Saying they can still all be mine?
They could be. We'll have to see how they rank. Let's start
bogus.
With number 10. We'll start at the bottom of the list.
All right.
This is a segment of the show where we were trying to get Taylor Swift on the phone. We're going to talk to her about one of the news stories involving Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And here's Kevin getting a hold of her.
And now it's time for a Moment With Kevin.
So we had Dave get Taylor on the Swift for us. Taylor on the Swift.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift on the phone for us. Hey, shut up, Taylor. I don't need your input on that.
Yeah, that was number 10.
That was a Moment With Kevin.
Well, you want to get Taylor on the Swift.
I mean, right?
Y'all know how much Bean loves Weezer, right?
Sure.
Bean loves Weezer, and Weezer was playing here locally at a show, and everybody was sort of berating Bean for not making the trip.
Mm-hmm.
He loved him so much.
Right.
Here was his response.
And now, a Moment With Bean.
Well, you could have flown down for it. Like a real fan.
Oh, well, I can walk. It's a good. Yeah.
That was a Moment With Bean.
Well put. So far, I prefer mine to Bean's.
Yeah, that was number
9. At least
nine.
You were speaking English, Kevin.
Barely, but yes.
At number 8, we're talking about the cast of The Suicide Squad. Kevin.
And now, it's time for a Moment With Kevin.
And we
He's
also.
He's in Suicide Squad, too, by the way.
He's in Suicide Squad. He's in Suicide Squad 2, by the way.
That was a Moment With Kevin.
Yeah, that was number 8.
Okay.
At number 7, Bean comes back onto the list. This is just another day at the job, just another day at the office trying to get into a segment on the radio.
And now, a Moment With Bean.
Welcome to a Thursday morning here on K-Rock. Kevin, I understand you're going to introduce him to some new friends here, right?
Whatever you just said, yes.
That was a Moment With Bean.
All right, we're tied at 2-2. Okay.
Bean also takes the number 6 slot.
Yes!
We're talking about host of the Late Late Show on CBS, James Corden.
And now, a Moment With Bean.
Something like Carpool Karaoke. Thank you. That's how they would know.
Is this a thing now? We're thanking people once we screw up?
Thank you for sitting through that.
That was a Moment With Bean.
I'm not good with, what do you guys call the words?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for Moments With did become a thing in 2016. Here's where it all originated, where Kevin not only has a Moment With, but he sort of invents a saying as well.
And now, it's time for a Moment With Kevin.
Yeah, he's paying above his pay grade. Playing above his pay grade. Thank you.
What did that for?
That's what I ended up coming up with.
Thank you.
What are you thanking me for?
That was a moment with Kevin.
So that's turning a negative into a positive.
Right. Yeah, and you invented a new phrase, too. Right. Playing above your pay grade, which isn't a thing. Either something is above your pay grade, or you're playing over your head, but I don't know what that means.
All right, we're tied 3-3.
That was at number 5. At number 4, Bean once again appears on the list. This is just words being hard.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
Look, we all have particular words that we have trouble pronouncing.
With me, it's all of them.
At number 3, you know, Bean loves Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And here he is talking
about
it.
Me again?
Yes.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well, as Saturday Night Live Saturday Night Live put it so well during the weekend update on Saturday night, which is when that show airs.
What the hell is going on?
That was a moment with Bean.
All right, I hope the Hall of Fame doesn't call and take it back.
Then at number 2, Kevin sometimes has a hard time with English. But let's not forget, he also has a hard time with math.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be 500. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Okay, hold on. What just happened? $500.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
All right, now, Bean has 5 and I have 4. So right. This will either tie us or Bean will win the title.
But this is ranking. These are weighted. This is not number
one.
This
on,
is not
Ralph.
Volume.
It
these
is.
Are the best, the top moments with of 2016.
Right, but I've never been beaten
so
for the best.
So whoever has the number one
that's
top
not true,
moment,
sir.
The best.
That is. So if I have number one and Bean has 2 through 9, he's 2 through 10, he's good?
Yes.
Because I have the worst one?
Yes.
No.
That's how it works.
Sir, no.
That's why they're rated.
Tell me it's Bean then.
At number one, Kevin retains his crown with another... With another moment of math genius, but maybe the best ending to the show we've ever had.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We have Jensen Karp on the program tomorrow. He's written a book called Kanye West Owes Me $30.
Or $300.
Or $300. One or the other.
No, it's not one or the other. It's only one.
Agree to choose your own adventure.
Agree to disagree.
No.
And tomorrow, because it's
$300. Is the title.
And tomorrow, because it's Tuesday, we have the Bachelorette Report. So that's coming up tomorrow as well. We'll be right back.
Will we?
Thought we were done after these words.
Yeah, that number was one. A moment with
Dave Ryder, King, the top moment
got it.
Of 2016.
Although I do think we'll be right back is the best way to say goodbye.
I think so, too.
Top 10 Moments With of 2016. Dumb.
You can ask me all you want. I don't know.
It's just, if someone says add a zero to a number,
right.
I can't imagine how you add 100 to a number. How does add a zero to 50 become 150?
I'm thinking like 4 moves ahead.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you're playing 3-dimensional chess while the rest of us are just on the flat board.
Thank you, finally.
I got you.
All right.
Hey, guys, your chance to win your tickets coming up in minutes for both nights of the Sold Out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. We'll tell you when to call. And also, actor Alan Tudyk is going to be here, who we love, by the way, from Firefly and Serenity, right, and from so many other things. But he has a key role in Rogue One that I cannot wait to talk to him about. Alan Tudyk, next half hour here on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Speaking of Rogue One, you'll be happy to know there's going to be some Rogue One merchandise available to buy.
What?
Yes. That's unusual.
For a change, Star Wars is going to come up with some licensed merchandise for purchase. The biggest announcement was yesterday when Hot Topic says they're releasing their Rogue One collection of Rogue One-inspired clothing. Right? You can get an olive green hooded crop jacket.
Yes.
Looks just like Felicity Jones's. It's Jyn Erso.
I'm going to look great in that.
Black leather jacket, like a Death Trooper hoodie. Right? You don't know, man. It's all available at the Hot Topic right now. So get your merch. Load up for the Christmas season. You just get a ton of Star Wars stuff for Christmas, Allie? Do people just buy you a ton of Star Wars stuff?
Yeah.
Because they know you?
Yeah. Last Christmas, I got a ton. It was awesome.
Because you're a loon.
I'm sorry?
I'm sad because you're a fan.
Yeah.
I'm already online. I want to see this movie.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Will Ferrell, our buddy Will Ferrell, who's been on the show a bunch of times. Nice guy. I've often said to him that he is the Elvis of comedy.
The Elvis of comedy?
And by that, I meant, you know how Elvis made a string of movies? And in each of those movies, he always had some bizarre sports-related occupation. He was a motorcycle driver who drove around in a barrel at a carnival, or he was a cliff diver, or he was a speed racer, or he had a fishing boat business. He always had some sports-themed. He was a boxer in one. And
right.
I said, Will, you are the Elvis of comedy. You're an ice skater in Blades of Glory. You're a race driver in Talladega Nights. He's got a lot of sports things. Semi-pro, he was a basketball player.
Sure.
Well,
bitchin'.
The latest Will sports film has just been released. How about Will Ferrell as an e-athlete?
Yes, please.
You know, the e-athletes, of course, are the guys who participate in video game tournaments. Well, he will be the subject of a new film.
He'll be smack talking like crazy, right?
As the rarity, a middle-aged e-gamer. Apparently, most of these guys retire in their 20s because their hand-eye coordination isn't up to snuff. You can't compete with the younger guys because it's just a fact of nature. You start to slow down just a hair when you get into your 20s, and so they get out of the business. But he will be a freak whose hand-eye coordination is exceptional, and he'll be the only middle-aged guy in the tournament at the e-games.
Can't wait.
That's what I'm saying.
Bitchin'.
So, I'm in. Heavy metal people have a chip on their shoulder because they feel the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tends to ignore anything that goes to 11 in terms of the work of metalhead. So they have gotten off their butts and they decided to start the Hall of Heavy Metal History.
Yeah! Yeah!
Right?
Everybody! You eat suck.
Right.
Your mom, die, die, die.
Yes.
Your mom, die, die, die.
Right.
Your mom, die, die, die.
Exactly.
Your mom, yeah.
That
yeah.
guy will be at the opening.
We ran into that dude at the Slayer show.
Hall of Heavy Metal History. They're starting their own Hall of Fame. The class of 2017 has 9 inductees. Ronnie James Dio, Ozzy Osbourne. Oh, no, not Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne, bass player. Also played for Quiet Riot and Whitesnake. Rudy Sarzo. Quiet Riot drummer Frankie Benali. Lemmy, of course. Man of War guitarist Ross Friedman. Black Sabbath and Dio drummer Vince Appice. Is it Appice or Appice? I've heard both.
I've heard both as well.
I think the two brothers pronounce them differently even.
Hmm.
From Deep Purple, Don Airey. Randy Rhoads from Ozzy Osbourne. Andy Zildjian, who of course is the president and CEO of Zildjian Cymbals. So there you go.
All right.
Ceremonies will happen on January 18th at the Anaheim Expo Center in Anaheim, California. So get your black leather out and go down there and root on your favorite metalheads.
Okay.
I wonder if they will ever have an actual building or whether this will just be a thing that shows up in banquet rooms in Anaheim for their ceremonies. We'll have to wait and see.
Did you forget Meg White, or is she not nominated?
Meg White not nominated this year, yeah. Chris Rock! Just heard from Chris. He was talking about you guys. He says that he's your best friend.
He did say that.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It has been announced he's going back into stand-up comedy. Chris will be back on a stand-up comedy tour starting next year. He hasn't done stand-up in 9 years, by the way.
Wow.
So he'll be performing live in his what he's calling Total Blackout Tour. And he'll be starting touring next year, so you can look for dates. I'm sure he'll play locally as well as around the country. But
and then they give me $1 million!
Yeah. I always think that's him at his best. I thought he was pretty good as a sketch comedian and pretty good in the movies and stuff, but his stand-up is really where he shines.
Yeah, I saw him at Universal Amphitheater, which will tell you how long ago it was, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's spectacular. Today's celebrity birthdays. Yasiel Puig. L.A. Dodgers. 26.
Yasiel Puig.
Nicholas Hoult is 27. Winston Marshall. He's the banjoist of Mumford & Sons. Also married to Glee's Diana Agron, by the way.
Remember, Ralph, when we were making fun of the banjo playing?
I do.
And we were making fun of it endlessly, and then we did a breakfast with, and Bean was on vacation, and Ralph and I did it. And the guy that plays
the
cat banjo,
and fiddle, cat and fiddle, remember?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That was great.
He is the funniest and most gregarious
coolest guy in the world.
He's the best guy in the world.
And to see them live and watch them manipulate those instruments that we mocked so incredibly well and sound so terrific, we really felt like asses by the time it was all said.
Turned out we were way wrong.
Yeah, they were great guys. That was a good time. Emily Browning's 28 years old today. Jennifer Carpenter turns 37, as does Sarah Bareilles. Shiri Appleby is 38 years old. Dominic Howard, drummer from Muse, is 39. C. Thomas Howell from Animal Kingdom in Southland, 50 years old.
But really, Soul Man.
Well, let's not forget Soul Man. That was a movie where a guy put on blackface to go to Harvard for free.
Yep, that was the plot. That was the thing.
That happened.
Yeah.
This is a good time to remake that movie, actually, rather than I think we're finally back in the climate where we can get away with it.
I hope not. Yeah.
Tom Waits. 67 years old today, by the way. Legendary singer Tom Waits. A voice some have equated to the sound of an angel.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. You're
positive that's the voice of an angel.
I need a chance to finish my quote.
Oh.
Voice of an angel being cut apart by a chainsaw.
I see.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. We have tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Nope.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, wait.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah.
Now, can we go back and add that to the file? Because,
we may have to update the list of greatest moments with.
It doesn't work for next year.
No, it does not.
So I feel like it falls in between the cracks.
All right. We're going to redo that list next
hour. We have tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, if you'd like to call now.
How about that whole deal?
How about that, right? Call now, and we'll play the game next.
Yes.
Right?
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries? Green ones, too. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
Best song ever by Fred Schneider?
Or walnuts.
I don't know. I think Rock Lobster is hard to beat. Listen to this, though.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
And what you feel.
Got a very special guest stopping by.
Sticks of butter.
Kevin Beecher here this morning. Help us give away these tickets.
Cinnamon.
Thought we'd warm up before we get to him.
Molasses.
A little of this holiday classic.
Lots of dark rum. Artificial color.
All right. I feel like maybe you've heard enough of that.
Artificial flavor. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
We're giving away tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost
Acoustic
Christmas.
It's fruitcake.
Now let me do this. 2016 this week, and not the Weenie Roast, as the guy on the radio may have told you. It's Saturday and Sunday night. We got tickets for both nights on the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Fred Schneider himself from the B-52s and the Superiors, who sing Fruitcake, is here with us on K-Rock. Hey, Fred.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Bean. Good to be here. Happy to be here.
Yes, we're happy to see you. Fred is going to help us give away tickets to these to the callers on the line right now with the
yes,
game.
Yes, I will. Giving out tickets.
Right, that's correct, Fred. Thank you. A game that we like to call Schneidering the Hits.
What's my name? Schneider. What am I singing? Singing the hits. I'm Schneidering the hits. Schneider. That's me.
All right. So you're going to be doing lyrics from songs that will be played this weekend at the Forum. All the caller has to do is give us by title and artist who it is. They go into the drawing to win floor tickets for both nights. Everybody ready to go?
Yep.
I am ready.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
Are you ready too?
Brandon in West LA. Hi, Brandon.
How are we doing?
Well, we're fine. We're Schneidering the hits. Listen up. Here's Fred Schneider. What song is he doing for you?
Let's do.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head. You feel left out or looked down on.
All right.
Wait, there, Brandon? Little Jimmy Eat World?
Yes.
Yes.
Woohoo! Good morning.
Don't write yourself off. I mean, it didn't sound exactly like that, but
just like that.
Okay. I'm very impressed that Brandon came up with that. All right, who's next?
Let's go to Cindy in Glendale. Hi there.
Hi.
Ready for Schneidering the hits?
Yes, I think so.
There we go.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up.
All right, Cindy, what's to you?
Basket Case, Green Day?
Yes!
Yay!
Basket Case, Green Day.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps.
Right. Sound just like them.
Well, I don't know about that, Fred, but you did a good job so far.
Let's go to Nick in Palos Verdes. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Ready?
Yep.
Here you go.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before?
Title and artist, Nick.
Big
Kid Rock song.
Big song.
Song.
You've heard it here on Kid Rock.
Title of the...
Well, if you don't know,
I've
take
got
a guess.
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. That was Bastille, Pompeii.
But if you close your eyes...
That was right. Dead on, too.
Thank you very much.
Not a winner. Who's our next contestant? Playing for floor tickets for both nights.
Bill in Santa Fe Springs. Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening is...
Schneidering the hits.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Say it ain't so. I will not go. Turn the lights off. Carry me home. Na 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 na.
All right, Bill, what do you think?
Weezer, saying it so.
Oh wow.
Nope,
that's Blink-182, All the Small Things. Sorry about that.
Good guess, though, but sorry, no. Oh. Great job there, Fred.
Why is it a good guess if it's wrong?
Oh.
I mean, it's the wrong band, even.
Because Weezer had a song called Say It Ain't So. At least there was some rationale behind the pick. That's all.
All right. David in Boyle Heights, hi.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. You ready for your song?
Yes, I am.
What's with these homies? This and my girl. Why do they got a front? What did we ever do to these guys that made them so violent?
All right.
Oh, wow.
David?
I don't know.
One of the bands is playing this weekend.
If you don't know, guess.
Beck Loser?
That's a terrible guess.
Come on.
No, that's Weezer, Buddy Holly. Strong. I mean, we got the first two.
Yeah. Then what a dumb people.
It's a tough game, Fred.
And they don't know crap.
I think it's a very difficult game.
These lyrics.
There's a lot of pressure when you're on the spot, on the phone, on the radio.
Nope, they're just dumb.
Hey, Martin.
Hello. Good morning.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay, good luck.
Mama, come here. Approach, appear. Daddy, I'm alone. 'Cause this house don't feel like a home. If you love me, don't let go.
All right, Schneidering the hits. Martin, what song from what K-Rock band is that he was just doing?
Is it Unsteady by X-Ambassador?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Mama, nicely done.
I think that's a fantastic place for us to bow out. We've got Martin, we've got Cindy, we've got Brandon. They're all in the drawing for floor tickets to both nights for this weekend at the Forum. But only one can win. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Brandon.
Brandon. Congratulations, Brandon. Tickets to both nights. Both nights on the floor. Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, and I'm so excited.
Congratulations,
oh
Brandon.
Like
you're going to the shows. Schneidering the hits.
Come on,
right?
Goosebumps, right?
Right?
Very excited to welcome our friend Alan Tudyk back on the phone. We love him so much from Firefly and Serenity, and I think the last time we had him on, he was talking about newsreaders, but you've heard his voice in Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero 6 and Moana and Frozen, and you'll hear him in a little film called Rogue One. Open it up in just a few days here, the latest in the Star Wars series. Can't wait to talk to Alan about that. Alan, your life has changed, my friend. It's all different now. You're in Star Wars.
Oh, my God, man. I'm in Star Wars. Well, it hasn't changed yet. I think it has to open, and then I'm expecting a great many changes. I'm not going to be interested in the fatty foods.
Right.
I'm going to jog more. Things are going to turn around.
That is going to change everything. Wow.
And you know, you got to move, right? Because wherever you're living in now isn't fancy enough for a Star Wars actor. You're going to have to upgrade. I'm sorry if I'm not sure if you're married or not, Alan, but bad news for the little lady. It's time to upgrade in that department as well.
I just got married.
I'm sorry.
It's bad timing on your part.
You got to do it.
Saved so much money on that wedding.
Oh, no.
So one of the I have so many questions, and I know that there's a guy from Lucasfilm with whoever's running it now with a gun to your head to make sure you don't say anything you're not allowed to. But
right.
I'm so fascinated with your character in this movie because you didn't just go into a booth and do a voice for this droid, K2SO.
Right.
You're on set with the actors live while everything else is going on around you. Tell us about it, Alan.
It's kind of like doing a movie, just any movie, except you're wearing the silly sort of what Diego Luna calls the tightest pajamas anywhere. And I was wearing stilts, which was great because he's 7'1". So that was neat to be above everybody.
Did you ever face plant with those?
No, I did not.
Oh.
And anybody who may have seen that, they were paid off and
didn't
whatever.
See it. Okay, all right. So it didn't happen as far as we know.
They're not talking. it was amazing. You just sort of act there on set, and then they come in and do all the magic later.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can, make things happen on the day that wouldn't happen if you weren't there. We did a lot of improvising, if you can believe it.
What? That's the most shocking thing to me, because I would feel like writing a Star Wars movie is like adding a book to the Bible, and you
right.
know that it is going to be dissected for the rest of time,
right.
and people are going to be all over every inference of every word. How can you just make stuff up on the fly that's going to fit?
Well, luckily, K2SO is, he doesn't tell jokes, but he's pretty funny. He was reprogrammed, and so he has this sort of blunt sense of, he just tells people what he thinks at any moment, like a child does. They don't mean to be funny, but they'll say the thing. Like,
right.
Mommy's fat. And he's like, oh, my God. Where did he get that? And so he has a tendency to say things like that within the movie that are funny. So it doesn't affect the plot, the story, and all of the major sweeping themes within the movie to make different little funny lines. And,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The
now,
Independent said that K2SO is hilarious and is the best Star Wars droid yet. That's some BS, right?
Well, they haven't seen the whole movie.
I'm saying, though. Poor R2-D2.
Well, R2-D2, yeah, he's my favorite. Although, he cusses like a sailor.
Oh, is he dirty?
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Huh? So good to know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you could translate what that guy's saying... He's racist.
Oh no!
Yeah, it is. It's amazing what they used to get away with in movies back.
It's crazy. Never thought of him as racist.
Yeah. Oh, R2-D2.
Everyone knows.
Racist.
All right, my bad.
Everybody knows that.
Is there a time when you're on the set and look, you're a very accomplished actor with a long career and you've been involved in lots of great projects with lots of great actors, but Star Wars is different. Is there a time where you look around and I don't know what's in front of you and what they add later, but I mean, is there a time when you're on set and you're looking at the Death Star, for instance? Does something like that happen?
They didn't have that on set.
Okay.
But there were a lot of times where you're surrounded. Oh, man, it was amazing. Because it's more of a war movie, this one. It's shot a little differently. It's handheld a lot of the time. The director was doing the camera work a lot of times in the trenches, literally. We were on a beach running, which is hard to do in stilts, running.
You fell.
I put.
You were on the beach running. Don't you lie to me.
Like, I fall in bare feet when I'm on the beach running. You're on stilts.
The running there were actually this time. There was this backpack of shame that I would put on.
Okay, good.
That had a telescoping head out so I could run with my own legs, which made it a lot easier.
I gotcha.
But we're running down the beach. We're surrounded by other rebel troops. We're running towards some stormtroopers. We're running from imaginary AT-ATs. And they go like, you have to see that mark in the distance. Run towards that and don't go around it. Please, you've got to just stay on your line. Because they had a spaceship come over. So they had like a half-built spaceship that flew over our heads because they had it on a crane. Comes over our heads. There's this monkey alien on a turret on the side going, da, 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 da. There were troops. It touched down. Troops both boarded. Both are just deplaned out the sides. Jumped down, joined the fight. People on one side of me, one guy launches in the air because he hits this spring. Explosion, flies in the air, falls down beside me. Guys are doing that all over the place and then into the water. And it...
That sounds awesome.
It was like the best, like, playing battle with actual explosions, and then there's stormtroopers all around. So that was exhilarating.
That's living the dream right there. This is the voice of our friend, actor Alan Tudyk, here on the phone. We're talking about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. The premiere is this weekend at the Pantages, and then the movie opens everywhere on December 16th. Allie can verify that it's impossible to buy tickets for the 16th, right, Allie? Those are gone.
I finally got some. I actually got some for Thursday night at 7:30.
Boom!
Suck it, Fandango! Yeah.
Alan, while we have you on the phone, I was very excited to see that is it this week that Con Man comes back through Comic-Con HQ, right?
Yes, man. Yes. I think it's tomorrow. It's my show.
It's your show.
I should know these things.
It does say December 8th. Busy, so it is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. So I write and direct this, and we did season one. We crowdfunded it. Sci-fi fans gave us over $3 million. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was just because Felicia Day was in it, though, right?
Well, she does have a lot of pull. And, yeah. You know, most of that $3 million just went to her
right to her.
Off the top.
Sure. Well worth it, my friend.
Yeah. And it did really well. And Lionsgate came along this year and said, hey, can we do another one of those? So they launched this channel called Comic-Con HQ, and it's kind of a Netflix for nerds, although I've always considered that Netflix. being a nerd myself, I watch that. But our show's there. And
what's awesome about Alan is it's kind of, I mean, it's like Larry David plays kind of a pumped-up version of the real Larry David. You're kind of playing you in that you were in Firefly and
right.
Serenity, except you've gone on to have a real career, and your character in Con Man kind of is still struggling to repeat that success.
Exactly. And so it's set in the world of Comic-Cons that go on all around the country all the time. But it's such a rich place to write comedy. We have a musical this year with Lou Ferrigno.
I'm sorry.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Did you say a musical?
Yes.
And Lou Ferrigno.
Always pick the deaf guy to sing. That's my motto and always has been.
Exactly. He nails it. The idea is that we're at a con and he has written a musical version of Mice and Men called I'm with Stupid. And
what?
Are you high right now?
He's so high. He's just petting a dog.
So we end up getting trapped in this boiler room with a lot of people who are guests at this Comic-Con, and we decide to put on the play, and we put on, there's like 5 songs in the thing. And
wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen this season.
That's beautiful.
And you can stream that at comic-conhq.com.
Yes.
Yes, and your co-star, obviously, Nathan Fillion, your old friend, is tremendous in the show. And you've got some great guest stars this year, including Trisha Helfer is going to be on the show, and Seth Green, Mindy Sterling, Summer Glau, Sean Astin, James Gunn, Joss Whedon. I mean, come on.
I know,
like
man.
You said. Like you said, Netflix for nerds. Check it out, Comic-Con HQ. And don't forget Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, opening up a week from Friday. Alan, we're very excited to see you in the movie. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Great to talk to y'all.
Bye-bye. That Alan Tudyk is a delight, by the way.
So great.
So funny, too. Such a great actor. Hey, speaking of guests that we enjoy, I'm really looking forward to just after 9 o'clock this morning. We're going to have Peter Engel in. You may not know the name, but he is the creator and executive producer of a little show called Saved by the Bell.
Yay! Yelling at us. Exclamation point.
Take it down a notch.
Exclamation point.
What's going on?
I mean, just that. Just Saved by the Bell. Just the man who created Saved by the Bell. So we'll talk to him about
his excited.
New book.
I'm so scared.
Well done, you guys. That's coming up first, though. It's Wednesday, and I think you know what that means.
No. No.
Yep. Yes, of course.
Yes.
What did Wednesday ever do to you?
Wednesdays means the wheel o' bad animal voices. take a look at the wheel for today. P45, the mountain lion that is dominating Malibu's animals. The anxious goat that can only calm down in his duck costume.
All right, it better land on that. All right. Seriously, I need to know.
And you. The kangaroo that was sucker punched by a guy.
Oh, I bet he's got a lot of thoughts on how that went down.
The beaver that declared war on Christmas.
Oh.
And the human-faced pig with a penis on his forehead.
I need it.
It's been a holdover for about 5 years, that one.
We're going to leave that on the wheel.
There's no story there. That is the story.
I don't know.
The headline is the story.
Let's do the thing, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty.
Spin that wheel. Let's find out who we're going to call here.
Oh, that one felt good.
Good wood.
I'm going to need that. The beaver that declared war on Christmas.
Yeah.
We actually have a news story on
that. Oh, we do.
Yes, we do.
Leave it to Beaver, an actual beaver wreaking havoc at a dollar store in Maryland. Look at that. The animal tearing down Christmas decorations as he was strolling right through the front door. Officers apprehended the beaver, and they returned him to the wild.
Now, why does the beaver hate Christmas?
Right?
I don't know. Maybe we should talk to somebody about the story, but maybe the beaver was upset about all the artificial Christmas trees.
That was part of the article, yes, is that there were artificial Christmas trees in the window.
Yeah.
And the beaver went crazy.
And that's no good for a beaver. Beaver needs a real tree, right? Beaver needs some good wood.
Stop saying that.
Please, for the love of
God. That's so troubling.
Let's find out who's on the line. I'm betting it's an employee at the store where beaver broke in.
Yeah.
I bet that's who's on the phone right now. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, it's Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Who's this, please?
I'm the beaver.
Oh,
what
you're the beaver.
What are
the chances of that?
Nice acting. You're all surprised that the beaver answered the phone.
All right.
Very surprised.
So
you're surprised.
You're in Charlotte Hall, Maryland. In your own words, sir, why did you break into the store with the Christmas decorations?
In my own words? You don't want me to quote some other beaver who has something to say?
I'd like to hear it from your perspective.
My own words. Oh,
yes.
Am I understand?
Unless another beaver knows more, then quote him.
Do I have to get sworn in?
No. Do we just put
my paw in a Bible?
Nope. No.
In your own words, can you please describe for the jury what you were feeling when you went into the dollar store?
Why did you attack Christmas?
What happened?
Why do you hate Christmas?
Listen. Christmas blows.
What?
Christmas blows.
Christmas blows. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, then until your wife serves you with divorce papers.
Oh,
on Christmas Day, I got favorite remorse papers.
Wow.
So every time around this year, I just start drinking.
So every single time you're reminded of Christmas, you're reminded of that time.
Oh, Charlotte, that bitch.
Oh, no.
She sent me the papers on, I got them on Christmas Day.
That's,
can you imagine?
That's a crappy thing to do.
Yeah, that's very sad.
Oh, and I'll tell you something. I sure miss their tail.
Literally?
Yeah, she had a great tail.
Okay, great tail.
She was great to help build dams.
Oh, Charlotte.
Yeah. So the kids are gone and she's gone.
Oh man.
So I got nothing to do at Christmas time but you get drunk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And dollar store, first of all.
Right.
Who goes to the dollar store?
Well, people who are looking for discounts.
Oh. I thought my life was sad, so I looked around the dollar store and saw those people.
Really?
And then the trees.
Yeah, they're fake trees.
Everywhere I looked, I saw trees.
Right.
Charlotte loves trees.
Oh, no.
Those beavers do.
Yes, they do. Charlotte loves to gnaw on a tree. Oh, could she gnaw on a tree?
Yeah.
Oh, you never seen a girl work a trunk like Charlotte.
Well, no wonder you miss her so much.
She would hit all the branches. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think I do.
And she'd right down to the roots.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I saw the trees. I just couldn't help myself.
Right.
I went crazy, and I started eating all the trees.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You went right in through the front door there at the store. You started tearing up the discount.
I thought this was in my words.
It was in his words.
I thought this was supposed to be in my words. Your Honor, objection, Your Honor.
We're not in the court.
He's leading the witness. He wanted to have my words, but then he's giving his words.
All right. I apologize. I'll stand down.
I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to. So I start chewing out all the fake trees. And I'm like,
yeah.
This tastes artificial.
Right.
And then they said, get out of the dollar store. I'm like, hey, you just list your worst of your problems as a beaver in the dollar store. Right? And so that's what happened. And I think they're going to press charges. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Press charges?
No. Yeah.
Well.
So I'm
Oh, come on. What happened?
Oh, it's just getting worse.
What do you mean, what happened?
Fake Christmas trees, mean? He ate them all.
And he's drunk.
Are you not paying any attention?
There's tinsel in there. How did that happen?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. So, Allie, your concern was that our guest in the green room was listening to the show and may have just gotten up and walked out after we talked to the beaver?
I mean, he's a man of God.
And a man of talent.
And a man of talent.
So those are two strikes against us.
Like, why would he be on this show after that, is what you're saying.
Oh, my Lord.
Executive producer of I Was Saved by the Bell, Peter Engel, has a new book out about his whole life, including that series. And we're very excited to welcome him to the studio coming up right after the top of the hour. Plus, don't forget, we've got more chances for you to win your way into the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 in minutes. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat.
Give me a chance to make up the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices to you somehow. Let me try to do better.
It's my favorite thing of the day.
Friday at 10 p.m. on stage at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage yet again for Hollywood Babylon, where we take a look at the week's entertainment news and also do some wacky hijinks. We have a pretty good time. And I think you would, too, if you come on out at 10 p.m. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. See me and Kevin Smith take the stage for one of our last shows of 2016.
Hollywood Babylon.
That's right, Rodney. Thank you for your support. Somebody around here supports me.
Hey, now.
Thank you. Hey, there's a new movie coming out, and look, who am I to judge? I was in yoga hosiers, right?
Well, sure.
But still, I can't help but cringe a little bit, get a little dubious when I hear the breakdown of this new Will Arnett movie called Show Dogs.
Okay.
Show Dogs is a live-action film about an FBI agent and his canine partner, who are hunting for a baby panda, which has been stolen by an underground network of illegal animal traders.
You're just saying words.
Nope. Nope. Here's the best part.
Kevin's on Fandango right
I'm
now.
So in. The canine partner talks. The dog talks to the FBI agent.
Oh.
It's a talking dog movie.
Okay, so I need to get high. Continue.
Ludacris will be the voice of the dog. Will Arnett will play the FBI agent. But wait for it. The panda is going to be sold to the illegal buyer at a dog show. And all the dogs in the film talk. Other voices for the dogs include Gabriel Iglesias and Shaquille O'Neal.
This says everything.
Come on now.
Kevin's already bought his ticket, yet you're still selling it.
I want a good movie.
I just... There's a... Sometimes.
Yeah, but it comes back around. Right?
There are.
Comes back around.
I can.
But it.
But.
Comes back
around. Ralph, forgive me for not knowing this off the top of my head, but the great Tom Hanks starred in Turner and Hooch back in the day.
He did, Bean. It was a different time, a different era.
Was Hooch also a talking dog?
He was not. Hooch was just a dog.
He was just a dog, okay.
A lot. Right. There was a lot of
I was wondering if maybe there was a precedent.
Slobber played a large role in the Turner and Hooch mythos. Okay.
So you were asking if there's a precedent for
for the talking dog
Beethoven,
movie. I was asking,
Beethoven did not talk. Mm-mm. Benji did not talk. There was a
Yeller, though.
Look Who's Talking 3, which I believe did in fact have a talking dog.
Oh, all right.
No, Old Yeller didn't talk either, Kim. No, it's been a while since we've seen a talking dog movie. But look, we live now in a golden age
right?
where Kevin Spacey can play a talking cat So
yeah, that's true.
I guess all things are possible.
And Bill Murray, too, by the way, in the Garfield movie. Remember? He was the talking cat.
He was a cartoon cat.
Talking cat, though, right?
But a cartoon. But okay. A cartoon.
It's different when it's a cartoon.
Very different.
He kind of has to talk.
He kind of has to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just by definition of it being a cartoon. So.
Bean can make the worst thing worse.
It doesn't seem possible most of the time.
You think you've hit the bottom of the barrel, and then Bean will get out like a spoon and start just chipping through the barrel until you get to the sub-barrel level of whatever you're talking about.
Look, I didn't come up with the talking dog movie, okay? That wasn't me. Blame your little friend Will Arnett.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
Yeah, there is no bottom.
Are you going to try to be in it, Ralph?
I'm going to watch it. It comes back around.
Now let's talk about a movie I'm actually looking forward to. Will Ferrell has announced he will be starring in a movie where he plays the only middle-aged E-athlete in the world.
Yay!
Will play a man with exceptional hand-eye coordination for his age, so much so that it allows him to compete in E-tournaments. For those of you who don't know, these are the E-games where video game players compete against each other. Compete for millions of dollars in these tournaments in sold-out arenas. The viewership for these things,
yeah,
people who will sit and watch other people play video games, it's a phenomenon.
They just had one of these at Staples Center sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the live event is huge. Yeah.
Well, think about Porky Pie.
PewDiePie.
Right? That guy.
It's a video star PewDiePie on YouTube, not Porky Pie.
Whatever.
No, it's not whatever. He made $15 million
That's
on YouTube.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people will watch Porky Pie. And
it's not Porky Pie. Once again, PewDiePie. And Will Ferrell will be an out-of-touch middle-aged guy competing in the world of e-games. Now, that's a funny premise.
Agreed.
It's funny. It's fresh.
It's got a funny guy.
It's as hip as today's headlines. And there's not one talking dog in the whole movie. That's all
well,
I'm
there
saying.
Should be.
Yes.
We've heard from Edwin, our frequent contributor.
Oh, my goodness.
Show, who says that the talking dog movie that we missed, that is the mother of all, is Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Oh,
apparently that's the gold standard.
Of course.
Did a live shot with that dog.
Oh,
did you really?
Allie.
I did. When I was with KTLA.
Allie.
Okay.
You're one of the few people I know that going to the Kevin and Bean show is actually a move up for you. I've never encountered anyone like that before. That's crazy.
I did do some really, really dumb things.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig.
He's 26 years old today. Nicholas Hoult celebrates his 27th birthday. Winston Marshall is 28. He is the banjo player for Mumford & Sons. And the lucky bastard is married to Diana Agron from Glee. Remember Quinn, the cheerleader?
Oh, sure,
Glee?
Sure.
Googly moogly. Emily Browning. I love her. Did you ever see Sucker Punch?
Yes, and I loved it.
I didn't like it, but I thought she was great. I thought she was adorable. And
you
really
should get high before watching that movie, I think.
Yeah. I don't have that much pot.
That helps.
She's 28. Jennifer Carpenter is 37. Sarah Bareilles is also 37. Shiri Appleby is 38. Bean used to love her on that show. Remember about the
Roswell.
Aliens? Roswell. Yeah,
she was great on that.
Dominic Howard, Muse drummer, 39 years old. Actor C. Thomas Howell is 50 years old today, and singer Tom Waits celebrates his 67th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman on Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Give me that. Give me a little of that theme song that's going to make every 90s kid so happy. Right?
By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's all right.
Talking about a show that was on for four seasons, and here we are over 25 years later still talking about it. The creator and executive producer of Saved by the Bell, Peter Engel, joins us in studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, Peter.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with that theme song, because I thought it was very funny in the book how that theme song was the opposite of what you wanted for your TV show.
Exactly. I didn't want to call it Saved by the Bell either. What happened was...
makes a lot of bad choices. That's the one thing you learned from reading his book.
What happened was we're in the president of NBC's office, and he says, what are we going to call this thing? And one of my guys said, how about Saved by the Bell? I gave him a look of death, and we came out. I said, that's the stupidest title I've ever
Why
heard.
Why would you even say that?
And I said to Franco Barrio, our producer, I said, you know, check it out. They want it. Hopefully someone else owns it.
What did you want to call it?
I don't want to call it that.
You just knew it wasn't that.
No, but then with the song, you know, in television, you have composers come in and they do spec themes, and the one who gets it usually does the music for the song.
Right.
For the show. So I told each of them, here are my instructions. I don't want to hear any bells.
Oops.
I don't want to hear the word, I was saved by the bell, and dug through. So the four guys come in. It's okay, nothing special. The fifth guy comes in, Scotty Gale, and the bell rings, and the guys in the room, my guys, look at me like he's going to throw them out the window.
Right.
And I listen to the song. Everyone's looking. I go, thanks for not listening to me. That's perfect.
That's exactly what you needed.
I feel like I had as much to do with that show as you did at this point.
I've heard that, actually. I thought it was a secret, though.
The thing about television is there are two, and you know this, you've been in the business decades and decades, Peter. There, everybody has an opinion, and it's just a struggle to see whose vision is going to be put through. But, I mean, you are the guiding force behind Saved by the Bell, and the decisions that you made are what made it a classic, my friend. And I have to start by asking you about the casting, because that's where a lot of shows are made or broken, is by getting actors that are right for the role. And when you're casting actors who are 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, that's got to be a next to impossible task.
Well, these kids were magic. I mean, they were playing their own ages, which is one of the reasons the show was so successful. The other shows, I mean, Luke Perry was 29
when
he started on... And the casting was, remember, there weren't any other teen shows. There were shows with teens. So it wasn't like you had a whole pool of people to draw on.
Right.
The casting thing was spectacular. I mean, I remember calling the casting director every day, every morning, every night. No Zach, no show. No Zach, no show. I saw my producer walking with his arm around the casting director around the lot every day. Mark Paul comes in. I looked at him. He had that twinkle in his eye. I said, if this kid speaks English, he's got the job.
Nailed it.
So you could see something in a 14-year-old Mark Paul Gosselaar. You knew he was a star.
I did. I absolutely did.
And you're not at all surprised to see he's still got a thriving, successful career today.
He's absolutely great on pitch.
He is.
I mean, it's the Kevin Costner role, like from Bull. I think he's terrific.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. And that's a great show as well. It's good to see him in a show like that.
Yeah, he's the driving force. Absolutely.
And Tiffany Amber Thiessen did not nail her audition for Kelly Kapowski?
That's not exactly right. What happened was Jenny Goth, Elizabeth Berkley, and Tiffany were all up for Kelly.
Wow.
Okay? And we had seen them, Elizabeth and Kelly, a year before on something else. And Tiffany was Miss Junior America.
Mm-hmm. Junior Miss.
And she had hardly any acting experience. But we're in the room. And Jenny, I thought, was better for drama. But so she was dropped off right away.
Right.
And so it was between Elizabeth and Tiffany. And what happened was Brandon Tartikoff, the president of the network, and I wanted Tiffany Amber Thiessen to play Kelly. And everyone, my directors, my writers, Bennett Tramer, all of them were up in arms that had they wanted Elizabeth. Fortunately, Brandon and I were the bosses. And I said, she's going to get better and better and better, and she's going to be a star. And she's going to be on, I want her, and she's going to be on every teen magazine cover.
Were you always able to recognize that in other people? Because it sounds like with Mark Paul and with her.
With every one of them.
You knew.
Well, you know or you don't know. And trust me, Kevin.
You know
when you don't
know.
When you don't know, you know.
Okay.
Because you either have the magic, you either have the chemistry, or you don't. I've had other shows, some of which went 5 years, when I knew we never had it.
Right.
And there was another show, we had the casting, it seemed like cast du jour.
So your solution, though, with the Tiffany Elizabeth problem was just to hire them both.
Well, that was Brandon's idea. And the concept was that, yes, Brandon said, let's hire them both, and let's have Elizabeth play Jesse. Now, Jesse was a difficult part because Jesse was the first empowered teen woman with all her causes who you had to be likable.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a terrific actress. So I get in the elevator with the two mothers and the two girls because I had a thing of waiting till the night. I wanted to tell those who didn't get it first. They wouldn't hear it.
Right.
So I get in the yellow with both Elizabeth and Tiffany, and I smile at each of them. Each of them is convinced I'm smiling saying I'm sorry.
You know? Right. Were you torturing them?
No, I didn't want to say anything.
Okay.
But I wanted them. So whatever I did didn't come across okay. that way. I remember
Peter Engel is our guest here on the Kevin Beecher. His book is called I Was Saved by the Bell, Stories of Life, Love, and Dreams That Do Come True. It's available everywhere where you buy books. Screech, actor Dustin Diamond grew up to be a terrible and very troubled adult. How was he as a teenager?
He wasn't a teenager. The second
episode. He was preteen when you hired him, right?
Well, I didn't know that the second episode, I said to Mark Paul, I said, what's with Dustin? He's such a kid. So he said to me, he's only 11. I said, maybe he's only 11. I misread his birthday.
Oh, no.
I figured they were 14. He's going to be 13 in 7 months. He was 11. I never would have hired him, but that would have been a tragedy because he was a comic sure. genius. The problem was, he was never a problem on the show.
He was never okay. a problem on the
he
show.
He wasn't, okay.
The problem was that 11-year-olds and 14-year-olds don't hang out.
Right.
In fact, 11-year-olds aren't even in high school.
Right,
right,
yeah. right.
And that was the problem. But he never was a problem. I mean, he was a comedy genius. And I even brought him back to the new class to save mm-hmm. the show. He wasn't even old enough to be in the college years, and I make him the assistant principal.
By the way,
like 16.
Yeah.
Saved by the Bell, the new class, didn't that go like seven years or something like that?
Five years.
Okay. You got a lot of mileage out of this Saved by the Bell.
Yeah,
thing,
it was
right?
an accountant's dream.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, we don't have a lot of time here, Peter, but I have to ask this. The show, you knew from the beginning, from the test screenings with the kids, they just went crazy for your cast. You knew you had a smash. It went on the air, and it was a hit. What were the problems that resulted from the success of the show, especially kids that age being that popular almost overnight? Did that create havoc on the set?
No.
It didn't?
Not at all. Because all the kids, I kept telling them, every kid in America wants to be you. Turned out every kid in the world, 85 countries.
Right.
Never. And I'll give you an example. It was the last night we're shooting the Las Vegas Wedding in Las Vegas movie. We're in Las Vegas, so we're having the cast meal and crew at midnight. So Mark Paul and Mario and I decide, and this will give you an illustration of that, there was none of that.
Okay.
We go into their dressing rooms, which is these trailers, and we open them up. And the two of us, three of us sit down, we're telling jokes. We're talking about different things like when Max killed the duck and Mark Paul wanted to kill him and how I had to be a psychiatrist between an actress and a costume designer. And we're telling, and then there were about 10,000 people. It was Glitter Gulch then. And we were doing car chases and there were about 10,000 people across
wow.
the street screaming, Zach Slater, Zach. And this is about one in the morning. Now, these guys are international stars. Mark Paul's the number one teen star in the world. And Mario right behind him. And they ask my permission. Remember, this last night we were shooting. It's not like, this is it.
Right.
And they asked.
So they could have done whatever they wanted at that point.
At any point.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have been fired even though I owned a piece before them. And they asked my permission. Peter, wow. is it all right if we go across the street and sign some autographs? That shows you what kind, with all their fame.
Good
and
kids.
When we went on the road, it was crazy.
Wow.
And with all their fame and with all their largesse, they were just great, great kids.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. All right, last question for you, Peter, and that is, how about when the cast starts hooking up? Does that cause problems? Because there was certainly a lot of that on the show. How about off the show?
Well, as Tiffany and Bethesda said, everyone dated everyone. Okay? Fortunately, they didn't date each other when they were dating in the show.
On the show, that's good.
And I had that on another show where a couple who's that night at the taping would have fallen in love were actually dating off camera and broke up that morning.
Oh, man.
So actually, none of them dated while they were dating.
Did that scare you? Did the thought of that scare you? Because I would think in your mind you would go, that could really cause problems.
All these attractive people spending all this time together, who knows who's going to end up?
They were teenagers.
Sure.
I mean, they think, and yeah, there was one night I had to talk with them. Of course, Screech is looking like this. What's going on? What's going on?
What's this sex everyone's talking about?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the sex. What is the conflict? What are the clicks? Right? And we had a talk, and it went on. I said, guys, if there's conflict off screen, it's going to show up on screen. And one of the beauties of Belle was the chemistry of between them. And you don't want to lose that.
Yeah,
and that was
certainly
the only moment. I mean, they were
And they listened to you.
And they were such pros. They were only 14 and 15.
Wow.
And they were such pros that people forgot on the crew that they're kids and they're going to do things that kids do. And
yeah.
They were magic. And I was going to Mario's surprise party a year or two ago where I was a surprise guest speaker. And my driver said to me, "You really made those kids." I went, No. Those kids made me.
Well, wow, that's a sweet story. And I'm telling you, there's so much great stuff in the book. It's called I Was Saved by the Belle, Stories of Life, Love, and Dreams That Do Come True. And Mr. Engel has had a fascinating career. We barely scratched the surface of Saved by the Belle, but get the book to read about his interactions with everybody from John Lennon to President Kennedy. I mean, it's kind of crazy the life that this man has had on and off the screen. I hope you buy the book. Peter, it's great to meet you. Congratulations on your career, and thanks so much for stopping by the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you. Happy holidays, guys.
Thank you.
What about Beatrice Jurado from Los Angeles? Just won tickets on the floor for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. It's this weekend at the Forum. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes.
Madness. Again, I feel like they had that covered.
Once again, you're wrong.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Ralph is here. Time for yet another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, saying goodbye to some folks this week who passed away. Margaret Whitten, very talented character actress, probably best known for her role as the bitchy owner of the Cleveland Indians in Major League. She passed away at her home in Florida at the age of 67.
Well, at least she lived long enough to see the Indians blow another World Series.
Oh, man.
You may find it's hard to believe she probably didn't give a rat's ass because she just played someone who was the owner of the Indians in a movie.
You don't know, man. Charlie Sheen still seemed pretty invested in the Indians. He just played a player in the movie.
Look at the gaping hole that is his life that he needs to fill up with some sort of look at me.
That's true.
Right? And Peter Vaughn.
Bean's just trying to make the story worse, as he does.
As he does. Game of Thrones star Peter Vaughn passed away at the age of 93 this week. Played Master Aemon. Former leader of the Night's Watch on the HBO hit. Guy enjoyed a 75-year career in show business and worked long. Names from as varied as Sir Anthony Hopkins, Frank Sinatra. He worked opposite on film, so quite a life and quite a career. But let's go on to happier things. It's almost the holiday season. It is the holiday season.
It actually is, yes.
It's almost the holidays. And, of course, Christmas music is everywhere, and it's always great when there's new Christmas music. And I'm just so happy that Cruz Beckham is finally recording.
Who?
Cruz Beckham, the 11-year-old son of David and Victoria Beckham.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's got his first single out. It's a Christmas song, his new Christmas single.
I'll bet it's great.
The 11-year-old has a new single.
Uh-oh.
Out on iTunes called If Every Day Was Christmas. And the Beckhams want everyone to know all the proceeds are going to go to charity. So
Cruz is probably pissed.
I get
how about a taste?
I don't think he needs
I don't think Cruz is hurting for pocket money when he goes out to school in the morning. Here's my thing, though.
Yeah.
He's 11 years old.
He is the founder of ISIS. The founder of ISIS.
No, that's not the case at all. I'm sure he's a fine young man.
But he is a dick.
I don't believe that's the case at all.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
I believe he had nothing to do with Booyah.
Okay, sorry.
But if you're the parents of an 11-year-old.
Right.
Just because you can make your kid a recording star, in quotes, doesn't mean necessarily maybe that you should when he's 11.
Now, I haven't heard this. Is it worth...
It's not a bad song.
Okay.
The kid has some talent.
Okay.
All that being said, maybe at 11 you don't let him go out in the public eye to become the next Justin Bieber. Because you know what could happen? He could become the next Justin Bieber.
That's true.
What's the best case scenario for this kid? At 11, he becomes a giant star? Then what happens to an 11-year-old who has to deal with that stuff?
Well, just I know what would have happened to me.
From a childhood point of view.
Yeah.
If he's talented, great. Encourage him. Train him. Let him work. Let him take lessons. Let him write. Let him do whatever he wants. And then maybe, I don't know, at 18 maybe, you let him go out and see what he can do with the world.
I guess you hope he's Justin Timberlake. You know, you hope he's...
Or that, say, Jaden Smith.
A guy like that who's got his head on his shoulders who is able to somehow handle being a star at that age and grow up.
But no one needs to be a star at that age is my point.
We haven't heard the song yet.
It doesn't matter. He's an 11-year-old kid. Can't he just be an 11-year-old kid?
So you think no 11-year-old should ever record music?
No.
Okay.
Why does an 11-year-old have to record? Are we out of music? Are we short? Are we short on Christmas songs? Are we short on music?
I think the world was a little better because the Jackson 5 existed, and Michael Jackson was that age.
And he turned out great. You're absolutely right, Bean. I'm sorry. What a great point. Michael turned out to be a well-adjusted man, didn't he? Didn't he grow up great? Did Michael Jackson grow up great?
I'm not saying he didn't have some trouble as an adult.
Oh, some trouble as an adult.
What I'm saying?
You mean the whole kid-diddling, skin-bleaching lunacy part. Was that some trouble, in your opinion?
It's not like he owned a monkey or anything. Look, he just had some issues when he got older. But as an 11-year-old, he couldn't have been any cuter and couldn't have been any better as a performer or as a singer, and he made the world a better place with those great records.
Oh, man. As a parent, you got to know you're playing Russian roulette with your kid if you put them in the public eye at that age. You're spinning the chamber, and yes, you're hoping for the best, but let me tell you something. There's a shell in one of the chambers. Why would you do that to your kid?
I would not.
Don't thousands of little kids move to L.A. every year to try to get on the next Disney show or become stars?
And your point is?
You don't think any of them should be in show business?
I don't think the majority of them, the stories are going to end well. I think if you're a parent, that is a poor choice.
But Cruz Beckham is very different.
That's right. And here's proof. Here's his first hit single, If Every Day Was Christmas.
So white.
So there you go. I wish him the best.
Pretty good voice.
Very talented kid, obviously. Yeah. I don't think there's any need to push him out into the world at 11. I'm saying he can be in the nest for a little bit longer. Let him mature a little bit, maybe learn some stuff. I don't know, go to school and things. There's things that can be done as a child that you really can't do at any other time in your life. Like be a child. But all the money goes to a British charity called, I want to get this right because it looks like a good charity, and it is Make Noise is the name of the charity. So you can go to @MakeNoise if you want to check out more about that. And it's nothing against this kid. I'm just saying, priority one as a parent is to protect your kids, right?
Right.
And I think it's hard to do when you push them out there in the public eye. A lot of horror stories about kids who were in show business at a young age.
Then there's Donny Osmond.
Screech. Screech.
And Michael Jackson.
Well.
He turned out well. You're a joy. Tonight, don't forget, Hairspray. Live. It's going to be live.
Live, local, late breaking.
Right? You're going to get to see Andrea Martin and Martin Short, Sean Hayes, Ariana Grande. Come on. Harvey Fierstein. Good morning, Baltimore. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. No.
You people. You don't know. You don't know joy. Speaking of joy, I'm going to have a good time on Friday night at 10 p.m. Why don't you come join me? Kevin Smith and I, we're taking the stage once again for our last regular Babylon of the year.
It's liquid joy.
It is liquid joy for me, yes. Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Smith and I taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon. And then nothing else until New Year's Eve. We're doing two shows. We're doing an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock there as well. So go to improv.com, get your tickets. Love to see you this Friday.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Oh, it's Andre Brower doing Willy Wonka. Today's celebrity birthdays. See Thomas Howell. So good on Animal Kingdom. Right?
Yep.
Oh, that guy's a sucker. He got played. He's 50 years old today. Dominic Howard from Muse is 39. Shiri Applebee's 38. Sarah Bareilles is 37, as is actress Jennifer Carpenter. You may remember her as Dexter's sister on that show. Emily Browning's 28. Winston Marshall, the banjoist of Mumford & Sons, also 28 today. Nicholas Hoult is 27. And Yasiel Puig is 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Thursdays means we talk sports with Jim Rome. We've got Dr. Drew on the show. And we've got your tickets for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and IMAX in 3D, and qualify for the world premiere. And we've got tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas on the floor tomorrow morning.